Welcome to Mission in the Mitten, where we share the story of how God's mission is unfolding across the state of Michigan. These are stories of the church rightly being the church and serving in Jesus' name.
Well, welcome everyone to the podcast. Today we are speaking with Gifts for All God's Children on the mission they're doing in the Michigan District. The Gifts for All God's Children has been on this podcast before. That episode is about 13 minutes long. So if you want to hear more about the model of the ministry that this organization does, you can go ahead and check that out. There will be a link in our show notes for that. This episode, we're going to delve into the challenges and opportunities that this organization faces that might be unique for them. So I think we're going to go around the room and introduce ourselves. And can you tell me your name and what your role is in this conversation? So I'm going to go ahead and start with Pete.
Good morning. Glad to be here. I work with in the Michigan District as Director of Worship Arts and Community Engagement, and I've had the privilege of working a little with Patty and Haley and Rob, and really look forward to hear more about Gifts for All God's Children.
Okay, Rob, can you go?
Happy to. Yes, I also am at the Michigan District Office, Director of Leadership Development, and one of the opportunities I have had in the past is working with Patty and her team at Gifts for All God's Children in their strategic planning. And I believe I was the interviewer and the conversation starter in that last podcast. And it's good to see Patty and now Haley also on the podcast. And so I know Gifts for All God's Children has been around for a while. And thanks to Patty and God's rich blessings through her and on her.
All right, Patty, your turn.
I'm Patty Jocks. I'm executive director and co-founder of Gifts for All God's Children, and God has had the plan. So I'll tell you more about our story as we talk. But it's been an exciting almost 40 years that we've been doing this. So great to be here, and thank you for having us.
Thank you for joining. Okay, Haley, it's your turn.
Hi, my name is Haley, and I work with Gifts for All God's Children, and I am the operations manager there. And I feel very blessed to be a part of the work, and I'm also so grateful for the chance to be talking with you all this morning.
Awesome. So we're going to get into both of your stories of how you each got involved with Gifts for All God's Children. I know Patty is the executive director, so maybe Haley, you want to go first, and then Patty can kind of close out with her story of how she got involved.
Sure. Yeah, no problem. So I first got involved with Gifts for All God's Children. As Patty said, it has been nearly 40 years of ministry. So my first involvement is when I was a kid. My family actually attended Faith Lutheran Church growing up, and we sponsored children during the Christmas season. So, you know, my mom plucked the angel tag off a tree and we went shopping as a family for some gifts. And that really stuck with me for my whole life. And I really am so grateful that I've been able to circle back around and be involved in the ministry now from an operations standpoint. So it's a great blessing to be a part of the work. But that is really, that's my first involvement with Gifts for All God's Children is nearly 40 years ago.
Yeah, Patty, if you want to go ahead and tell your story.
Yeah, sure. Mine's a little bit longer than Haley's. So Faith Troy did not have any kind of urban outreach or really Christmas outreach back in 1987. And the good Lord put me and two other ladies, Kieran and Carol, together to just try to provide Christmas gifts for a few children in the inner city. So we began with 187 children that Christmas in 1987, never dreaming we were going to go anywhere else or do any more. And then God just opened doors. This past Christmas, sponsored 3,561 kids from 52 sites. So we started with three sites, now 52 sites. So our mission is to meet needs as a conduit of God's love. And that's what God has done with us now with our year-round ministry.
That's awesome. It sounds like both of you have a really strong personal connection to your involvement with Gifts for All God's Children. But let's get into some of the questions about your actual ministry and why you do what you do. One of the thoughts that I had as I was preparing for this podcast is, how did Gifts for All God's Children pick urban / inner city ministry? Some people might say, okay, like, you're at Faith Troy, why not serve there? Why go into the inner city to serve?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'll get started on this one. But initially, quite simply, that's where we saw the need. There is a statistic out there that nearly 1 in 5 Michigan children are living in poverty. So the children that we are working with are children who are struggling to have their basic needs met on a regular basis, whether that's housing, regular access to meals, the utilities, even not being regular sometimes. The children that we work with are those that are in need of, you know, a brand new pack of clean socks. They need a new pack of underwear. They need warm coats that fit them to get through the Michigan winters. So we're working with children that are really living in many times transient situations where they're moving from place to place pretty regularly. So they need these needs met more frequently. So, and our heart is really for children who are living through difficult situations through no fault of their own. We have this awareness of those needs in the inner city. And so that's where we initially started and jumped in to meet the needs. And then there's another reason we jumped, we started in the inner city. And I think Patty can speak more to that too. So the first part is quite simply, it's where we saw a need.
Yeah. And we partner year round with all these, what we call frontline ministries, some churches and, you know, schools in the inner city or ministry partners, like the rescue mission and things like that. But we have seen these churches don't have a lot of people that help them. Most of these inner city churches are in those neighborhoods where the kids are literally perishing spiritually and emotionally and physically. And the church is on a corner there, but they are also, you know, kind of perishing and don't have a lot of help. They have few elderly people and not many funds. And so Gifts for All God's Children is this conduit. We connect these churches to other churches and businesses and schools and ministries that want to help them. They want to help them get children back into the church and help bless the kids and meet their needs. So that is another reason we're in the city, is to do that, to be this conduit.
Yeah, I don't know if either Pete or Rob can speak about the differences between kind of being in an urban / inner city mission spot, or if there is, and versus like rural ministry, or if anyone has any experience kind of comparing the two.
There's also the density of population in the city too, where there is that immediacy of a congregation, because as Patty and Haley have said, there's the Gifts for All God's Children is a conduit of those congregations and Christians and brothers and sisters in Christ who have a certain level of means and want to bless others and connect to those who have less. But the point is that Gifts for All God's Children gives them a way to minister to people who are not necessarily right next door, but it also is a builds relationships with families in the community around churches in urban areas where that they wouldn't necessarily automatically have. It gives them an opportunity to meet them. The same could be true in rural settings, and I think in some respects it has been where the opportunity arises. The difference in rural settings, in my mind, is that there's a less population density, and so you don't feel it or see it immediately, the poverty that's also there or the needs that are also there. And so that is different. And then there's a relationship with families and just really just one-on-one connections through families that Gifts for All God's Children allows and enables us to enables the congregations to minister to people. Pete, do you have anything to throw on that?
Yeah, I was. I met Patty at one of our Beyond the Breakwater gatherings. Help churches get out in the community, and then Haley later when I went visited them both at their center, and I was really impressed with how they connect people with people in need, and there's dignity in that. And that's something we teach at the gathering. Make sure I understand correctly, people come to their center to get the things that others need, and they already have the relationship with that family or that person in many of the cases. And that's pretty impressive. In my experience, I've actually had ministry both in rural and in urban areas. And the big difference is everybody's spread out. It takes a little longer to get things to people. Specifically, I was in Nebraska and then downtown in the Orlando, Florida area, working with some of the troubled kids, and they have different issues. But yeah, very impressed with the dignity that goes in this. That's part of this ministry. And there's relationships already formed before they give the things the people that are in need.
Yeah, Patty, if you want to jump in and answer that too.
Yeah, as we meet people throughout the state, like at the conferences and things, we set up a display table at, we talk to pastors and their wives, and many of them are struggling to have children in their churches and reach out. And so we've found that, you know, and there's needs, you know, there's people in rural areas that have the same needs that they have in the inner city, really. So our outreach model of trying to partner with churches and help them reach out and establish relationships works in both places. It really does work in rural and in the inner city. But as Pete mentioned, you know, they're so much closer together in the city. But transportation is still an issue in both places, trying to get the kids to where they need to be.
Yeah, and if I can chime in on this too a little bit. So Gisrael God's Children, you know, yes, we work with children in the inner city, but also, you know, our mission is to meet children's needs. So wherever there are children in need, that's where we want to be working. And so to that end, we've also partnered with other organizations that are in direct relationship with kids in need, such as children in the foster care system, children who may have a parent who's incarcerated. So we're working with those organizations as well. And they're not necessarily, you know, strictly inner city. So wherever there's a kid in need, you know, we want to be there to help support the ministries that are working with them.
When you're in your urban setting or inner city setting, what do you see that's unique about serving children in that setting versus serving children in other places? What challenges do you face in terms of serving children in the inner city?
One of the challenges, as I mentioned, is transportation, of course. But another challenge is getting volunteers to actually serve in the inner city. They're afraid, you know, they don't know, they don't feel comfortable. And so that's a real challenge for us and for many ministries is the volunteer things too. And then just the incredible needs that we see through our partners is a huge challenge too. They break your heart, the stories of the children and the families. We feel blessed that we can help, but it's overwhelming sometimes. And these frontline ministries that day in and day out are helping the kids are the ones that we really want to, you know, continue to partner with. So we kind of are like lifting up their hands and their arms so they can do the ministry God's called them to do.
Yeah, I love that you're talking about like a relational aspect of partnering with the frontline ministries who already have the relationship with the people there. So for Gifts for All God's Children, really, you're almost facilitating the connection between a larger church that might be blessed and going all the way down to the frontline ministry that's blessing those in need who already has the relationship. I love that. So would that be something you say is how you overcome that the challenges of place?
Yeah, I think, you know, because we work directly and only with partners that are a part of the community of which they're serving, you know, we're working with individuals who are a part of those communities, and therefore they know their own needs that they communicate with us so that we can connect them with people who want to meet those needs. And we see ourselves as sort of a supply line to help those churches and ministries support the families and children in their congregation. So we connect them with our Christmas gift program, our Easter gift program, our school supplies program, and many others. But we take it very seriously that we are constantly in communication with our ministry partners, our frontline ministries and churches, and asking them those questions. You know, what do you need? What are the children in your congregation needing? How can we help support you? So we are regularly getting feedback. We don't just come in and, you know, drop off some things for the kids and leave. You know, we're touching base with them regularly and praying for the kids that they're serving. I would say that's a major way that we overcome any challenges we might face in terms of place.
Let me add to that too, that you've been at Place, and Patty can speak to this too, that you've been engaged in this for like 40 years, right? And so relationships have been built over the course of those years, relationships of trust, and there's been consistency and in care and concern. And you've also then ended up recognizing that there are other needs besides just blessing, I don't want to say just, but blessing children and their families at Christmas or at Easter with gifts. But then you've recognized, there's a learning deficit, or there's a education deficit, and so. But we also want to share Jesus somehow. It's not a give with a hook that, you know, we give so that we can, you know, bring people into the church and, you know, sneak them in somehow. But the point is, we do this because we're Christians, because we're people of God, and we see that the whole person is really important. And part of that is education, helping students attain, you know, their grade level reading and so on like that. So you've started other ministries in addition to, you know, like the tutoring ministry or, King's Kids or Kingdom Kids. But those are Bible study. Those are learning opportunities for students and families to connect to those local frontline ministries. And those are relationships of trust that you've built over the years. Can you speak to that, Patty?
Yes. So Gifts for August Children started just as Christmas. That was our plan. But now we have year-round ministry. So we have a wonderful tutoring program that's at East Bethlehem on the east side of Detroit. And we actually just expanded it to Panda Vita in southwest Detroit. So we have that on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays in those locations, and a virtual tutoring that happens many days of the week, too. So we're impacting kids with tutoring. We do huge Easter basket distribution to our partners, who then give the baskets to the children that are in their ministry. Also, we do back to school, where we collect school supplies, and those again go to our frontline ministries that again give them to the children. And many of them have, they'll have an Easter fair where, you know, the children come in and they'll do a backpack jamboree where they pray over the backpacks as they give them out after church and at their party. And we also do summer ministry at East Bethlehem, and we're trying to work with other churches where we have 4 weeks of summer camp, even a STEAM camp, which is, you know, STEM with art. And we take the kids on field trips in the summer. We partner with the Michigan District to the ATE sports camp. So we provide the transportation. We pay for the bus for 5 weeks to pick up the kids and get them to the ATE sports camp and back. So we are busy all year long. We have a huge prayer ministry that is the reason we're doing what we're doing. But we are in constant communication with these frontline groups, and we help them in any way we can.
Yeah, that's great. So we're coming up on today. We're recording on Ash Wednesday, 2025. And so we're coming up on Lent, which then means Easter is just around the corner. Let's kind of use your Easter basket blessings as a model to walk through how this actually works for Gifts for All God's Children to be connected from kind of beginning to end. So how do you find these frontline ministries, and how do you get in contact? How do you find the right ministries to bring these to the right people?
Sure. Yeah. Well, we are, as Patty has said before, we're in regular communication with our partners. So we are constantly refining our programs to meet their needs. They're telling us how many kids they need Easter gifts for, what ages they are. And they're giving us information about the children's background circumstances, you know, sort of why there's a need in the family and how we can help best meet it. And we meet with our partners twice a year in large group settings just to connect with them. But we're also connecting with them regularly throughout the year, too. So that is really how we get in contact with these people. And just over the years, as Pastor Casper said, you know, we have built relationships of trust. So with our partnering organizations over all these years. So that's the best example I can give you as to where we're finding people. You know, a lot of the ministries, they know of Gifts for All God's Children. And if they're working with children, you know, we start a conversation with them.
Yeah. And we also, we have referrals. People will, one ministry we work with will know another ministry that they're very good friends with, and then they refer them to us, and then we check them out, and then, you know, we add them as based on actually referrals of people that we work with, other ministries and churches.
And many of the ministries we work with have been around a very long time as well, like the Detroit Rescue Mission, also Power Company Kids Club, Good News Gang. There's a lot of very well-established ministry organizations working with children in the inner city, and we love to partner with them.
Yeah, I think, again, that speaks to your organization's power of relationship building, that you are known and trusted within the ministry community there in the inner city. Once you have the connection with the ministry, how do you then bless them? What is the program like to get the Easter baskets and Easter gifts ready?
Well, we actually, Christmas I'll talk about a little bit because we, and it runs kind of the same way, but we're very personal. The children that receive our gifts, their parent has filled out, now we're online actually, has filled out individual wish lists with sizes and if their child needs a coat or socks or underwear, they get to choose, you know, six different gifts. So it starts with the parent. First, it starts with the frontline ministry inviting the parent to fill it out. So it's not just a random, you have to be invited by East Bethlehem to fill out the wish list for Christmas. And then for Easter, same thing. They count up the children that are working with them. And then, of course, Easter is more of an outreach. We try to give them some extra baskets, too, so that they can invite other kids in the neighborhood in. And then we have coordinators at our workshop in Rochester. We have this 6,000 square foot building that is filled with brand new toys and clothes and Easter and baskets and bunnies and you name it, you know, candy and everything. And so we collect all year long, actually, for all of our events. So people that love to get deals, they'll see a warm winter coat on sale in February and they'll buy 10 of them for us, you know, and they drop them off at our workshop. So it's quite amazing to see the workshop in action. And we're like 99% volunteers. I've been a volunteer for all these years. Thankfully, Haley's paid staff, and we do have one other full-time employee, so that's a great thing. But God is good. So people love to give, and they love to personally give. They love to sponsor that child who's 6 years old, and they may have a six-year-old daughter, and they really want to bless that little girl. And just like Haley went shopping with her families, our people, they go out shopping and purchase what's on the wish list.
Again, I think that goes back to the relationship aspect of the programs.
Yeah,
it's putting a personal touch and a personal connection to what otherwise would just be, oh, I'm giving to this organization. No, you're giving specifically. And I think that gives great purpose when deciding to partner with a ministry with your pocket too.
Yeah. And they pick up and they deliver. We are not involved in their parties or the distribution. It's each church or ministry plans their own event and they are the ones that give the gifts. It really is not us. It's really coming from them. And that further connects them. We've had people that have joined churches because their child somehow, anyway, had gotten a gift. And things too through it. Just really those partnerships, it changes. You know, when you provide a kid with clothes that doesn't have any new clothes, or provide these parents with Christmas gifts that they don't have anything to give their kids at Christmas, you know, and their kids watch TV all the time in the hype of Christmas, and their parent feels horrible because they can't even pay their water bill. So then Gifts for All God's Children comes along, and somebody provides these beautiful gifts that the parent gets to give their kid. So from the church, it's wonderful.
Yeah. I think that really leads into like, how have you seen people respond to these gifts? Is there any resistance to that, or is it, have you just experienced total joy?
Yeah, I can speak to this. As Pete shared earlier, just dignity is so important to us, and providing dignity to the people that we are wanting to bless. We don't see resistance to our gifts or our programs, because we're not imposing the gifts on anyone. We're not just dropping off whatever we have to give and hope it's good. As Patty mentioned, the process is really that the frontline ministry, whatever that neighborhood church is reaching out to their community. They know the needs. They know the families that are struggling. They invite them to participate in the program. They invite them, hey, I see you're having a tough time lately, or, you know, work's not coming through. Would you like to fill out a wish list for your child for Christmas? Like, we'll be able to make sure that happens. And then that caretaker is able to complete a wish list personalized for their children with their likes, you know, a child who's into crafts or Spider-Man, very specific. What color coat a kid would like and what size they are this year, you know, so they're not getting hand-me-downs, and we do not provide any used gifts. Everything is completely brand new. That is so important to us, that the children have something new that's just for them. So we don't receive any resistance just because we get these highly specific wish lists, and we do everything we can through our sponsoring partners, through our workshop, to meet those needs. As far as you said, you know, how do people respond to these gifts? Patty can speak to this because she has nearly 40 years of testimonies and God's faithfulness and what he's done through this work in the lives of the children. But just as one small example, which is obviously actually quite large, but a young woman, preteen, she wrote a letter on her own behalf to Gifts for All God's Children. And in it, she just expressed her gratitude. And she said that everything good that she had ever received had come through Gifts for All God's Children. And I think that is just such a beautiful picture of the kingdom at work in this young woman's life. People she may have never met, and they may never meet her, but just coming together to really bless one another. You know, it's a blessing to give. It's a blessing to receive. So that's how these gifts are received by the children and their families.
Yeah.
But I know Patty has just other examples of that too to share.
Well, we do two luncheons a year with our recipient partners. And so we do a kickoff luncheon in August, and then we do a afterglow luncheon in January. And it's especially at that afterglow luncheon when these ministry partners are all together in the room, and they get up and they share what Gifts for All God's Children meant to their ministry and to their families, and their tears rolling down the eyes of these people when they tell the stories of what these perfect gifts that, you know, I remember one little girl at East Bethlehem got a new coat. And of course, some of the kids open it up before Christmas. They don't quite wait till Christmas, but she wore this coat every day. I mean, she didn't take it off. And her grandma was raising her. And when you have a lot of grandparents raising kids, and grandma said that coat just fit her perfectly. Like, God does these miracles all the time. He knows who's going to give and what they need. And this coat, this just made this little girl's life, that she got this brand new coat that fit her. So, you know, it's amazing to see what God does when we pray and when we reach out. And there's so many Bible verses, Pastor Casper, I've got pages of them written down, you know, about giving to others and being the love, sharing the love of Christ. And that's what we're up to. And connecting kids to Christ is one of our big missions. So that's another big deal.
I like what you said about it being a miracle that God orchestrated. Because we often think of miracles as these giant, you know, almost fantastical, almost, I don't want to say crazy, but impossible things. But a coat that fits just perfectly, bought by someone who has no idea what body shape, what type, they just know the size and it fits perfectly. That's God at work. That's really God at work. It's wonderful.
We see lots of that, and it's a blessing.
We really see these gifts as, you know, gifts of hope and encouragement. You know, it's a tangible expression of God's love in the life of, you know, the child who receives them. It's a reminder that, you know, you're not alone. Other people are caring for you, you know, at this time too. And that's just such an encouragement when someone, anyone is going through a hard time. So we like to think of them as gifts of hope.
And we're people of hope here in the Michigan District. So that is perfectly in line with how we view ourselves. But oftentimes I feel like people, there are these big holidays, Christmas, Easter, even like the first day back at school. How do you keep from feeling like the work you're doing for gifts with Gifts for All God's Children isn't just popping up when it's these big events, when it's convenient, when it's the right time of year?
Well, we have a calendar that we plan our years well, and this is part of our model, actually, is trying to get our churches to plan the whole year of what they're going to do in outreach. And so it's not really a pop-up thing. This is a planned thing. And we've been doing this for so many years that our churches and the children and the families in the church, they look forward, of course, you know, to Christmas and to Easter and to back to school. But they, the churches use what we give them to make these relationships better. So it's not just a random child that comes in, you know, that there's a lot of places that do freebie giveaways, and we don't do that. You know, we, the children that receive our gifts, it's very intentional that that church is where they get them from. And so we don't believe in freebie, like handouts of school supplies to just anybody that signs up. They have to really, and that's what makes us so much different than many groups out there.
Yeah, it sounds like you really try to get them connected in with a ministry. Well, it's really the ministry that's connecting them to you. So it's less so of, hey, we're going to show up here at this time with these gifts, or hey, sign up and we'll show up. It's really the invite from the church that gets the community and starts to build that relationship.
And we reward behavior. So when the kids start coming to the church and are involved, that's when they get the beautiful Christmas gifts. So if they're not involved with the church, sorry, no Christmas gifts. So it's really a reward.
So 40 years is a long time. There's
almost 40. Yes.
Almost 40. There's been a lot of change in our world in 40 years. What changes have you seen in the communities that you serve?
Well, I've got to tell you the story of East Bethlehem, just real quick. East Bethlehem, 2009, we were on a little urban tour. We stopped there. They had no kids in their church. Their school had closed 2006. So they prayed for 2.5 years what to do. And God sent us to partner with them. So that church, we have partnered hand in hand first helping them do a Valentine outreach, and then with Easter, and then summer camps. And so we're partnering all the time with them. So now they baptized, like before the pandemic, like 35 people that were not infants. These were children that had come through the ministry and partnership of East Bethlehem and Gifts for All God's Children. And they have like 156 kids on their Christmas list that are connected to that church. So it went from zero. So talk about a change in a community. And if you ever interviewed Pastor James or Carolyn Roth at East Bethlehem, it's just this partnership that God has blessed and has used to change lives. And now we have other churches looking at East Bethlehem saying, what's going on there that's not going on in my church? And I want to have these children and these relationships and these baptisms. And so now we're working with some other churches to help with that ministry model.
That's awesome. It's, again, one of those testaments to what God can do.
Yeah.
Praying for 2.5 years for children is a lot. What new needs have you seen pop up?
Yeah, just to follow on what Perry was speaking about before, there's that importance for the ministries that we're partnering with, building relationships with the children year round. That's always been important. But new need is that we see is for the churches and ministries that are serving the children to talk with each other and collaborate, to strengthen one another with new ideas for outreach. And it was on the heart of Gifts for All God's Children to create space for that, because obviously we're speaking with them about that year round individually, but we want those inner city churches and ministries to be talking with one another. So to that end, we created, we call it our model replication project. And it provides a regular opportunity for churches to come together and plan their outreach together, and learn from the example of East Bethlehem, and hopefully to grow their ministries to the children and the families in their neighborhoods. So that is a new thing that has popped up and is being done. And so we're just praying that we'll see fruit from that. But we are already in just the encouragement that we're seeing between these leaders meeting together and talking about this and sharing their struggle, you know, in reaching the community together. So it's already been a good blessing. But yeah, that's a new thing.
We're better together. Mm-hmm. And so when we can, you know, join forces and see, what are you doing that is successful that mm-hmm. I'm not doing, or what am I doing that you want to learn from? It's a great opportunity for those churches to come and learn, but also share.
Exactly.
It's great. As we wrap up this conversation, I just want to ask about getting connected into this ministry, but in some kind of tangible steps. So if someone was wanting to serve the people through urban ministry, what would you suggest they read, watch, or listen to? Are there any specific things that you would suggest our people learn more about?
Well, I think there's several ways. We know a lot of great ministries, incredible ministries. We do urban tours. So if you want to join us on one of those twice a year, we take people to the city and we show them frontline ministries that are changing lives. So we encourage you to, you know, partner with us to, you know, to see and to, well, you know, we can refer you to websites, grmm.org or, you know, Life Builders or all these groups that we work with, Power Company Kids Club. You know, you can volunteer for our, you can go to our website, giftsforallgodschildren.org, and you can sign up for our e-news. So that kind of keeps you updated a little bit what's going on, or sign up to be a volunteer. And then when we have volunteer opportunities, we shoot you an email and say, hey, you want to do this, even at our workshop in Rochester. So basically, we love to learn more about other ministries by going and seeing them, actually, or looking at their websites first. But we are a really good resource for people if you want to partner. I mean, we work with Camp Restore in Detroit a lot, which partners with many ministries and helps many of them too. So that's one way that you can, you know, can find out about other things. And I know, Haley, you have some other things too, how to support the ministries and the work we do.
Yeah, absolutely. As Patty mentioned, well, just for those who are looking to get involved, those urban tours are an awesome opportunity to be exposed to several different ministries just over the course of one day and learn about all the different work that's being done. But then just to follow up on what Patty was sharing as far as, you know, ways to support the work, for Gifts for All God's Children, there's many different ways that people choose to engage with us and support the work. You know, obviously, financial support is huge, and it's just a tremendous blessing. It goes so far. We take very seriously our role as stewards of donations, and we just run incredibly efficiently, and those dollars impact the lives of the children immensely. But also for people to who have heard about Guess Where All God's Children and understand the work, to share it with their congregation leaders, to share it with their children's schools, or even if they're a business owner, we partner with schools, churches, businesses, and individuals to meet the children's needs. And they can choose to get involved in many different ways. One of which it would be, we'd like to sponsor 15 wish lists for children at Christmas time, or we'd like to, you know, donate financially on a regular basis, or help provide Easter gifts, collect school supplies. You know, year round, there's tangible opportunities to get engaged and support children in need. We also have our Amazon wish list online, which has been a huge blessing. So many folks just love to know, hey, I'm going to go on there. I'm going to buy some books with a Christian message and know that they're going to end up in Easter gifts for kids. You know, it's a really, really cool thing. So we use those. And also for those that follow us on social media, keep an eye on it because we're always posting our direct needs. We're always thinking about, oh, should we be doing better social media strategy? We use it as the loudspeaker of the needs for the children. So we get on there and we post anytime we're running short on things, coats for teenage boys around Christmas time. And people respond to that because they know it's going to go directly to the kids. So keep an eye on our social media. That's what we use it for primarily, really. And then also, as Patty mentioned, volunteers. Our volunteers are amazing. They are truly giving of themselves and their lives for the children. It's one of my favorite things about this organization. We have hundreds of people that work tirelessly to make all of these programs happen, from the tutoring to the gift programs. It's really incredible. And then, of course, prayer. We rely and run on prayer. It's kind of, sometimes it feels like it's a bit on the background. A lot of people don't know about that, but I'm so grateful for this podcast and the opportunity to share about this. But we have two incredible parts of our prayer ministry. We have a team of people praying regularly over the work, and anyone can join that. Just reach out to us. We also have a team of people who are praying for children's specific needs as communicated to us by our ministry partners. And we see the answers to those prayers being met all the time. So we welcome anyone who would be interested in joining us in those prayer ministries. But yeah, so those are, I ran through a big list there, but we have many ways to get involved, which is wonderful.
As we close out, let's go ahead and if you could give us a couple of things that we can specifically pray right now for your ministry, and then Pastor Casper, if you would pray us out, that would be great.
We want to do God's will. So our real prayer is for God to lead us and to do his will and for wisdom to make the right decisions and for his provision for all our needs. Also, we want to pray for the children that we serve in the frontline ministries that are doing incredible work 365 days a year, with many of them with very little help. So that's kind of our big prayers.
All right. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for Gifts for All God's Children. Thank you for the vision that began this ministry as you put it on the heart of your people. And even now, you continue to put it on the hearts of your people to minister to children and to provide opportunities for frontline ministries build relationships and share gifts of hope and also gifts of the message of Jesus, the greatest hope of all. Father, we thank you for your continued blessing on Gifts for All God's Children. And we ask, gracious God, that you would meet their needs and that you would just anoint it with your Holy Spirit, that their plans would would be your plans in that as they seek your purpose and your will, that you would give them discernment, you would give them wisdom, you would give them patience, and you would provide for them that they might provide for others. Father, they've caught the vision that that all of us are conduits of your grace, that each of us who have received your good gifts through Jesus are privileged to pass the gift of hope, the gift of life in the message of Jesus onto others, that we all are gifted to share that good news in some way, somehow. They have a very specific way of doing that. We thank you so much. Pray your blessing upon them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, thank you for joining us today, both Patty and Haley. There will be all of the information to find you guys in our show notes, so people can just go ahead and click those links to get involved with Gifts for All God's Children. So thanks for listening today to our conversation with Gifts for All God's Children. And we look forward to seeing more of what God does through their ministry in the men.
This podcast is a production of the Michigan District of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. To learn more about our ministry and to stay connected, visit our website at michigandistrict.org or follow us on social media at MIDistrictLCMS. Thank you for listening.